of the saints. It's called CSCS. We've heard how God speaks to us through circumstantial signs. And last week we spoke about how God speaks to us through commanding scripture. And this was actually originally one talk, part of an introduction to the Christian faith called the Alpha Course. And they had one talk on hearing the voice of God. We kind of took that and expanded it into these five messages. And we're wrapping it up this morning by talking about how God speaks to us in a different way, and how God speaks to us through His Spirit or through His compelling Spirit. And I'm going to be doing that. I'm going to be tag teaming with Belinda this morning, who's a good friend of mine and a good friend of ours, and I'm excited about that today. But we want to answer really seven questions about this very, very important subject. And the first question is, does God speak to everyone? It's a great question. Does God speak to everyone? Or is it just like He only speaks to one church or one group of churches? Does God speak to just Christians? And as we open up scripture, we find truths that guide us to an answer to that question. And I'll actually start off with something said by a guy. I don't think that he was a Christian. He was a German philosopher, Immanuel Kant. Kant, I don't know how you pronounce his name. And he said that there are a couple of things that fill me with awe every time I think about them. He said two things that fill me with awe all the time. He said, number one is the starry host above. And number two is the moral law within. And the Bible comments on those two things. It comments on the starry host above. It comments on the moral law within. About the starry host above, the Bible says this in Romans 1, verse 20. It says, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. So the Bible says that even if you've never been to a church, even if you've never opened a Bible, if you look at the way that the world has been made, we were singing about how I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, and my soul cries out. What an incredible coincidence that there was a big bang millions of years ago, and now we have all this. The human soul doesn't do that if you stop and think about creation, the wonders of the human body. The Bible says the heavens are speaking to us. They're telling us that, you know what? You can see that there's a plan in creation. If there's a plan, there must be a planner. If there is a design, there must be a designer. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. The stars, day after day, they pour forth speech. They are creation as God speaking to us and saying, I'm here. The starry host above, but not just that, there's also the moral law within. Great man by the name of Abraham Lincoln. Throughout his presidency, he came under fire, kind of opposition, and he knew that he would make mistakes during his terms of office, but he resolved never to compromise his integrity. So strong was this resolve that once he said, I desire to so conduct the affairs of this administration that if at the end when I come to lay down the reins of power, I have lost every other friend on earth, I shall at least have one friend left, and that friend shall be down inside of me. See, my point is that whether you're a follower of Jesus yet or not this morning, God speaks to us through His creation, but not just that, He speaks to us through this moral law within. Romans 2 verse 14 says this, the Apostle Paul, Romans is a great letter because in it he's essentially arguing with a group of Christians in Rome. And some of these Christians in Rome had Jewish roots, and they said, you know what, Jews are better Christians because God spoke to the Jewish nation through His word, the law. And the Apostle Paul, his theme in the book of Romans is that, you know what, whether you've got Jewish roots or non-Jewish roots, doesn't make a difference because we're all one in Jesus. And in verse 14 he says, listen, when non-Jews, when Gentiles, they don't even have the law, they don't have the Torah, they don't have the Bible, when they do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves. themselves, even though they don't have the law, since they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing, now even defending them. I've got a three-point argument, so mini argument in this first point here. First point is this. If God doesn't exist, then objective moral values and duties don't exist. Okay? If there's no God, let's take God out of the picture for a moment. Put him aside. A world without God, how do you know what's wrong and what's right? There's no way of knowing that unless we have an objective frame of reference. If God doesn't exist, then objective moral values and duties don't exist. But number two, objective moral values do exist. We live in a world where deep down inside of us, there are things that we know, whether we read them in the Bible or not, we just know that they are wrong. There are things that we're supposed to do, there are things that we're not supposed to do. Every human being has an internal sense that we are obligated to avoid evil and to do good. Our moral experience convinces us that moral values are real. We have five physical senses, and they convince us that the physical world is real. We also have a moral sense inside us that convinces us that, you know what? Right and wrong are real. And you and I know this. Every single time that we say, that's not fair. You ever said that? Or that's just wrong. We're acknowledging that, you know what? There's right and there is wrong. But if there are moral laws, that's an indication to you and I that there must be a moral lawgiver who gives us those laws. You may not be a follower of Jesus this morning, but if I said to you there was a genocide in Rwanda a couple of decades ago, most of us would say, if not all, that's wrong. See, right and wrong don't come to us, they're not defined by society or culture. Because the society culture in Rwanda at that time was, if someone's from a different tribe, it's okay to kill them. But you and I can look back and say, that is wrong. People who were involved in that at the time can look back and say, that is wrong. Because it's not defined by culture, it's defined by something bigger than us, something beyond us. And that's God, the great lawgiver. So God does speak to everyone in different ways, but God speaks to his followers specifically. That's what we're going to zero in on this morning. And God speaks to us, we're saying, by his Spirit, directly into our hearts. And Belinda's going to share a little bit about how God does that. Give her a hand. She needs some help.
You might be reading God's word and just see it jumping out of the page, a certain verse that speaks directly into your situation, that can bring you direction, encouragement, strength. Or you might recall a scripture that you've previously read or memorized, and that's the Holy Spirit putting that into your heart. Another one is an inner voice. So it's not an audible voice that you're hearing, but inside your heart, a gentle voice, a sense of God directing you, convicting you, leading you, and that's the Holy Spirit speaking into your heart. Another thing God uses is his peace, peace that the Holy Spirit brings us, or the lack of peace. So peace is like an umpire working in our hearts, showing us when you're offside, when you're going the wrong way out of God's will, and he can give us peace to direct us and show us this is the way to be in the center of his will. Another one is pictures or impressions. So it might not be like a Technicolor movie vision that you see, but it might just be like a picture that's almost dropped into your imagination. That's from God. And so even as we're talking about these things this morning, just to encourage you not to think, oh, I'm making that up, or I'm just imagining it, but that's how the Holy Spirit can speak into our hearts. And often a visual message can speak more than words and really bring great comfort, great encouragement to yourself, or maybe it's something to share with someone else. Another one I want to touch on is dreams. So sometimes we can dream weird things, and not every dream is from the Lord. But if you wake up having a vivid memory of a dream, you might have a sense of God's presence, a sense that he's speaking to you. Maybe he's urging you to pray into something or giving you direction about something in the future. So it's good to weigh that up and not to feel like, oh, God doesn't speak to us through dreams today anymore. Another one I want to do highlight, which I'm sure we could all relate to, is God does speak to us through nature. As Mbonisi was talking about, it resounds within us, God, the Creator. And have you ever looked up and seen a beautiful rainbow and just felt strengthened in your heart? Oh, God's promises are true. God's promises are for me. He's faithful. Or maybe you've seen a beautiful sunset and just felt it settled in your heart afresh. Our Creator God is in control. He knows what I'm going through. Various things like that. Also, as I said, through nature, it could also be through your experience of something else you see or something you experience in the day, even something you go through. You can often think, hey, I think when that was happening, God was actually saying that is it to encourage me or direct me about something specific. I also find that God can speak to us by putting someone specific on your heart. So I've been learning in recent years not to ignore that when I feel that I should call someone, text them, pray for them, because oftentimes when I do that, I find out afterwards that they were going through a particularly difficult time and really needed that encouragement. So even these things that we might feel in everyday life, it's the Holy Spirit speaking into our hearts and dropping those ideas in. Another one is prophetic words, where if somebody who doesn't know your circumstance comes and shares a message that God has put on their heart for you, and that can be particularly encouraging and strengthening when they haven't known your circumstance and they speak a message to you that's exactly what you need in that time. So yeah, in all these things, I think it's just good to highlight them today and to encourage us that we can grow, we can ask God to help us tune into him, to help us to notice when he is speaking to us. And it's good for us to think, how can we discern, how can we grow in knowing more and maturing in hearing God's voice? So I'll hand back to Bernice.
And at One Tribe, we want to be a supernaturally natural and a naturally supernatural people. In Christ, our life by definition becomes supernatural, but at the same time it's natural, okay? And so a couple of examples of God speaking to me just this morning. I was holding my daughter in worship, and she doesn't really know the songs, and she's still learning to read, and so she's just kind of like hanging out with Dad. And then when we started singing the chorus of Here I Am to Worship, it's like she came alive. And I think she's heard the song from somewhere before or something, but she started singing into my ear, Here I Am to Worship, Here I Am to Bow Down. And you've got to be a dad to know what that does to your heart. And I didn't care whether she was getting the words right or not. I didn't care whether she had it in tune or not. I'm just like, wow, what a beautiful sound. My child sing. My child awakened in worship. And I just want to encourage you, if you don't consider yourself a professional, I've got anything to give a Christian, but that is God's heart for you, is He just loves it when you're awakened in worship to Him. When we take baby steps to get to know Him better, it's just such a blessing to His heart. Now, I was just in worship, and I wasn't kind of like, I must have something, an example to share, but God is speaking to us all the time. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
As an example, and we need to mature in this, and no one has got to work together, and no one is like, okay, I'm we've got a friend who's got a powerful prophetic gift. He hears accurate things. He'll stand up and he'll say, you, sir, you've been going through this and you had a dream about this last night, and I think that your bedroom wall has this kind of decoration on it. And he just gets it accurate like that. But we've walked with him through kind of like, I've got to make a big life decision now. What do I do? And guidance from God is a tough thing, especially when you're seeking God for direction across different things in your life. So we can mature in this. And I've been helped by this verse, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. It says this, but solid food is for the mature. Can everyone say mature?
Mature.
What makes someone mature? Well, it's someone who by constant use has trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So what does a mature person look like? They can distinguish good from evil. How do you get to be able to distinguish good from evil? Well, you train yourself by constant use. Now this, if you get this, it'll help you. I don't know if it'll help you. Have you noticed how children seem to be better at learning languages than adults? Have you noticed that? And there are a couple of reasons for that. And I'm told that the brain is more plastic at a certain age. But a huge factor is this. When kids are out in the street playing with children who speak a different language, they learn to communicate with one another, and they don't care if they make mistakes because they're kids. And they mispronounce the words, and they're getting it all wrong. Whereas you and I, when we see words up during worship that we don't know the language, and if we don't know that, we're going to get the word just right, like a native speaker. Then we do the Christian lip sync. It's similar with learning the language of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, that we need to have permission to get it wrong. We need to give ourselves permission to mess it up from time to time. Do you know what? I really thought that was God, but it wasn't. It's okay. If we do that, if we can free ourselves, it helps us so much. We learn to discern good from evil. How many of you have just intuitively at some point in your life sensed evil or the presence of evil? Can you put your hands up? Okay, great. Those of you who put your hands up, what did it feel like? Tell me, just what did it actually feel like? Scary, slimy,
oppression.
Great. Maybe your hair stood on end. Maybe you had a sick feeling in the pit of your stomach. We know how to discern evil pretty well. How many of you have been in the presence of good or sensed the presence of God before? What does that feel like? Peace, joy, just right, not slimy, not scary, and awe-inspiring. And as we learn to discern between right and wrong, good and evil, we learn to hear the voice of God saying, hey, go this way or go that way. But it's something that we do by constant use, by practicing. And the more we practice, the more we say, the more we step up and say, hey, I may have got it wrong, but I think God may be saying this to you. The better we get at hearing God's voice and even sharing it with others. Next section, we want to talk about what to do when you start to sense, hey, this might be God speaking to me. And Belinda's going to help us with that too.
When we sense God might be speaking to us, it's good for us to first of all weigh it up against scripture. So God's word is the ultimate authority, and we wouldn't want to be thinking we're hearing something that's in contradiction to God's word. So whatever we're sensing from God should be completely in agreement with scripture. And I find sometimes if I have a picture or impression of something that I think is from God, I ask God to give me a verse from the Bible that will go with it, that confirms it, and it just gives it like that extra punch in terms of what God's saying. I was just checking because my points might be in a different order. I wanted to say also then to pray about it. So sometimes when we sense God speaking to us, the main response might be that he's wanting us to intercede for something or to pray for someone, and that's why he's been showing us that thing. God might want you to hide it in your heart. It might be something that's for another time. So write it in a journal or some way so that you can refer back to it. I also wanted to say sometimes, especially if you're having an uneasy feeling that isn't peaceful, that does seem scary, don't hold it in your heart and keep mulling over it and getting heavier and heavier and more worked up about it. Do go to a leader or to a mature, trusted Christian friend and share it so that they can help you discern and say, this does not seem to be God at all. Let this idea go and you can be free and be at peace.
Yes,
and yeah. Then also you might feel that it's something that God's encouraged you with, but also wants you to share with somebody else. So ask God if you should share that, and just check first, is it something that would bring encouragement, comfort, and strength? What fruit would it bring if I share this thing with this person? And also check, what is your motivation? Like, could it be something, your own idea, that you're wanting to correct someone and that's not from God, or is it actually out of compassion, out of love and concern for the person that you want to share that? And then, as I was saying, God might have spoken this to you to encourage others and maybe to encourage the whole church. And that's another thing to ask God. When God gives us words to encourage, to build up others, that's the prophetic gift at work. And so, yeah, let's hear from Ms. Manisi more about how prophecy works.
Great. Is this making sense?
Yes.
Is it helpful?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking. So we want to talk about how we hear God's voice in our hearts, and often that's just for us. It's just God is speaking to you because you're his child, because he loves you, because he doesn't have, you know, superstars, or because you're in full-time ministry, I'm going to speak to you more. We're all just his children. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. But sometimes when God speaks to his sheep, he wants the sheep that he's speaking to go and speak to other sheep about what he's just spoken. Does that make sense? And the Bible calls that prophecy. And this next question is, what's the big deal with prophecy? Why are we even talking about prophecy on a Sunday? And I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 reasons why prophecy is fantastic. I'm going to throw in a fifth for free. I'm going to start with that, actually. And that is this. The Bible says that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. Maybe that doesn't impress you guys, but for me, that's a drop the mic, walk off the stage, well, we're done. It's prophecy, and the gift of prophecy in a church is going to give us a clearer picture of Jesus, and who he is, and what he's done, and what he's saying to us. Then tell me more about prophecy. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and the rest of these pieces are all from 1 Corinthians 14, that one's a verse from Revelation. 1 Corinthians 14 says this, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. A gift, by definition, is free. A gift in the Bible speaks of a freely given expression of God's grace. That's on offer for you and I, and we can just take it. The Bible says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. How many of you eagerly desire spiritual gifts? Let me say this. Eagerly desiring spiritual gifts is different to being open to spiritual gifts. Do you understand what I'm saying? A lot of Christians I've spoken to over the years, I said, tell me, how are you, what are your thoughts on spiritual gifts? And often the response is this, and I know where they're coming from, because that probably used to be me a while back. The response is this: I'm open to them. And often that means something like this: listen, God's given me and the rest of the world common sense and a few skills. And if God wants to speak to me and he wants to put burning writing on the wall or make a king-sized mosquito called Harry walk through the door and give me a message, I'm open to that. But the Apostle Paul, he says, no. He doesn't say, I want you to be open to the spiritual gifts. He says, listen, not a suggestion, an imperative in Scripture, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. So why would you talk about prophecy on a Sunday morning? Because at one tribe we eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Why are meetings open so people can come up and give prophetic words during worship? Well, because we eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Why do we step out, even if we're not 100% sure some of the time, and say, hey, listen, I think that God is saying this to you, Calvin. Why do we do that? Well, I'm eagerly desiring, especially. And I'm a child in the kingdom. I have permission to make mistakes. I need some safeguards there, and I think he's going to touch on those in just a couple of minutes. Number two, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. Another great reason, so he's number three, actually. Everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Some people are here this morning and you desperately need strength. You feel weak. Some of us, if we're honest, we're feeling a little bit discouraged. Some of us feeling uncomfortable. You know what the Bible says? You're feeling a bit weak. You know what you need? A bit of prophecy. Feeling discouraged, you know what you need? A bit of prophecy. You're feeling like life has just beaten you to a pulp. You know what you probably need? A bit of prophecy. Wonderful gift in the church. Yeah. But then there's a concern, it's like, yeah, I've seen weird stuff about prophecy on TV, and if I tell the people that I know, if I tell my friend I'm going to a prophesying church, they're going to think I'm weird. If you're going to a church and God isn't speaking to that church, that is weird. But we come back to Scripture. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 24 to 25 tells us that prophecy is good for unbelievers and people who don't understand. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 24. Listen, if an unbeliever or someone who doesn't understand comes in while everyone is prophesying, he will be convinced by all that he is a sinner and will be judged by all, and the secrets of his heart will be laid bare. So he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. I don't know about you, but when I read stuff like this, I think, God, give us more prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 39, Paul says, therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy. And don't forget, don't forbid speaking in tongues, by the way. Love this. The Bible says we should be eager to prophesy. And prophecy isn't something for Sunday mornings only. We can bring prophetic words to our children. Our children can bring prophetic words to us. The Bible says your sons and daughters will prophesy. We can be wise about bringing prophetic words in the workplace, prophetic words in life group. Life group is a great place to learn, to grow the prophetic. We also value prophecy in our Sunday meetings. And Belinda's going to tell us a little bit about how that works.
Okay, as Bernice has been encouraging us to be eager to prophesy, this is the part where it's going to get really practical, just so that you feel equipped to know what to do on a Sunday morning if you feel that God's speaking to you, and maybe it's something that can encourage the whole body. And let's just acknowledge, this can be scary. I get nervous every time I come to the front, and part of that is also the Holy Spirit, I think, the way He can work in your heart. Your heart might start beating, and you feel an urgency and also nervousness, which is real, to come to the front. But please, let's eagerly desire this, and let's be bold and be brave, because it can be such a blessing and can really build up the church, as we've been saying. And so, in One Tribe, we really want to be eagerly desiring this gift. And we also want to encourage you that you don't have to be a leader in the church. Anyone can come and bring a word that you feel God has put on your heart to bring encouragement. And we would love to encourage you to even come to church on a Sunday morning, expecting that God might speak to you and give you a message that you could share. And in 1 Corinthians 14, 26, it says, when you come together, everyone has a hymn, a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. So when we share things, our heart is for people to be strengthened and encouraged. And it's like coming to church and bringing your gift to the party. Come and bring your contribution so that everyone can be encouraged. And then we also do believe in orderly worship, which is also in the same passage in 1 Corinthians 14. So how do we do this in an orderly way? Because we don't want to now have a crazy thing of everyone's running to the front to share different things. So how we do this in One Tribe is we have an anchor who's leading the meeting. It's normally Sean or Kelvin or Bernice. You'll see that person welcoming and starting the service. And during the worship time of our service is a great time where if you feel led by God to share, then you can just come to the front quietly to the anchor and share it with them. And in that way, you're submitting it to the leadership of the church. And that's like a safety net for you to also keep you safe. And it's that person's role to discern, is this a word for now? Is this the right time? And it's not a failure if they say, well, actually, maybe it's not quite for today, but thank you for being bold and for being brave. But most of the time, it is spot on, and it's something that can really encourage the church. So please go for it. Then just backtracking a bit, when you're still standing at your seat and you're wondering, should I do this? Some questions you can ask yourself is, does it fit in with what God seems to really be doing in the service? So maybe the theme of the worship song or what people have already prayed. Will it be taking things on a huge tangent, or does it seem to fit in for now? Check again what I said before, that the motivation is love and compassion, encouragement, and also be open that maybe you should wait for another time. So just have a conversation with God quickly before you decide whether it's time to go up. And then some things to avoid is, this is helpful, just to know to avoid heavy directional words. So as a general rule, we say no announcements of births or deaths or marriage partners or things like that. That's just really helpful. And also avoiding anything that might bring fear. As we've said before, everything we say is undergirded by our Father God's love, and perfect love dries out fear. And also very practically, as you've come to know our style in One Tribe, we're very authentic and just down to earth. And so when you come to share a word, you don't need to use fancy English or a deep religious voice and say, thus says the Lord. We can just be normal. Even if it's a supernatural message, but it's brought in a natural way. One more thing I wanted to mention, which I know it takes a lot of braveness, but sometimes what God's put on your heart is going to minister deeply to people if you sing it and not just speak the word. Like even in our worship time today, when the song continued a bit and we all continued just repeating those words, that can really touch our hearts deeply. And so just wanted to be open to say, if you feel you should sing what God's put on your heart, that's not totally crazy. That can be a beautiful blessing. God uses music to minister to our hearts as well. And so Bernice is going to continue with a few more biblical guidelines of how this works.
You're doing great, by the way. It's fantastic. Really, really good. Our final question is, how can we steward prophecy well? Now, this is really important, again. Benedict did so well to say that when you're prophesying, please avoid, as a general rule, catches, matches, and dispatches, okay? So don't go to someone and say, this time next year you're going to have a baby, okay? If you do feel that God's genuinely saying that, please come and talk to us as leaders and we can help you figure that one out. Please don't go and announce, you are going to marry her. If you really feel that, please come and talk to me afterwards. And if it involves my daughter, yeah. And please don't announce that anyone's going to die anytime in the near future. We prefer that you, again, check words like that with leaders before sharing stuff like that. Now, this is really important. No one should, you should never make a significant decision in your life because someone else told you to. Or because someone else told God that you should. Do you understand that? Okay? So, I can't go to Bobby and Brandy and say, listen, you guys have a nice car. God said that you should give it to me. Okay? The correct response is, if you want, you can say, you idiot. But again, I'm driving nice, like Jesus. Correct response is, thank you for sharing that with me. I'm going to pray about that. And I'm sure that if God wants me to give you my car, he's going to speak to me directly himself.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. And as that word comes, it is possible that Bobby will just feel the faith and joy rising in him. And think, I want to give my car away. Yes. Or he may start to feel slimy. And that's the kind of no. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that's the security of the body. And so a great tip as well is that if you are going to share a prophetic word with someone, often it's great to just have someone else come along. And then what happens is, as you speak a prophetic word, the body, because it's in the context of believers, those believers will all each individually have a sense that, yeah, that sounds like God, or no, that doesn't sound like God. Does that make sense? And so when you're in a room like this and you say, hey, listen, this is God's word to you, God loves you, there's a corporate kind of, oh, yes, I believe that. But if somebody comes that's not in line with scripture, then often there's a corporate kind of like, no. Now, here's what's important. There's a difference between Old Testament prophecy and New Testament prophecy. In the Old Testament, if you got up and said that this is a prophetic word from God and you got it wrong, the Bible says stone. In the New Testament, the Bible says someone should get up and give a prophetic word. If they give a prophetic word, the Bible says everyone who's there should weigh what has been said. And a lot of the weighing is there a corporate sense in the room, in the body, that this is God speaking to us? Does that make sense? Important safeguard alongside scripture, which we've really spoken about so well. Okay, and so this last question, we're going to answer it. And by the way, I'm going to go through this last section, and then we want to pray for some people. And I want to invite anyone here, if you want to grow in the gift of prophecy, today is a great day to get started. And so even I can be saying, God, please give me a word that will be a blessing to someone else in this room, and tell me who that person is. Just in case you're getting bored. How can we steward prophecy well? Well, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19 to 24, powerful verses on stewarding prophecy well. The Apostle Paul says this, don't put out the Spirit's fire, don't treat prophecies with contempt, test everything, hold on to the good, avoid every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Okay, so I want you to imagine for a moment that you've got the Apostle Paul here today, and we are interviewing him. Okay? And I'll be the interviewer. The interviewer's going to stand here, and the Apostle Paul is here. And so could everyone say hi, Paul, to me?
Hi,
good to be here with you. I'm the interviewer. I'm the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, it's great to have you here. I've read your books. I absolutely love them. And we want to talk about prophecy, which you mentioned more than once in your books. Now, do you have any advice for us as a church, at One Tribe, a new church plant, in terms of just the things of the Spirit? Paul's response, I do. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. It's the next slide, Taylor. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. Okay, Paul. Sounds like good advice. How can we keep the Spirit's fire burning in our hearts and lives and whenever we come together? That's a good question. I'd say, if you don't want to put out the Spirit's fire, then don't treat prophecies with contempt. Paul, that's huge. You're saying that if we want to be a church that's on fire for God, we must treat prophecies with contempt. One of the reasons that's huge, the Apostle Paul, we love to speak into this, is that there's a lot of craziness out there. There's been a lot of misuse and abuse of this term prophetic, and people calling themselves prophets and doing weird things that just don't seem to be in line with the Spirit of Jesus. What should we do about that as a church? Apostle Paul says, test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. Isn't that so practical? Yeah, there's craziness out there. So you're going to test everything. And as you test it, it might be good or evil. If it's good, hold on to it. If it's evil, avoid it. Apostle Paul, we know you've got to go just now, and you're welcome to join us for Mandazi afterwards. But could you help us with this? This is all quite scary, and a lot of us have had negative experiences when it comes to the things of the Spirit. For those of us who are just a little bit unsure, and we see it in the Bible, but it's just uncharted territory, what words do you have for us? Apostle Paul says this, you're right, I've got to go. But listen, as you pursue the prophetic, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. And as we start to say, hey, listen guys, we see it in the Bible, let's do it. It's natural to say, but what happens if a demon sneaks in? It starts to sow deception in the church. Great question. And for me, it boils down to this. We've got to have more confidence in God's ability to lead us than in the devil's ability to deceive us. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so when Belinda gets up and says, I've got a prophetic word, my expectation, because she's a child of God, is that God is about to speak.
Yeah.
And 99 times out of 100, it is spot on. One time out of 100, it's like, need to think about that one. That's okay. Not going to sell my house on the basis of that. Man, it's good that Belinda's growing and we're all growing together. Wow, I love this. Friends, prophecy has been misused and abused, but the answer to misuse and abuse is not non-use, it is correct use. The Bible has been misused and abused. That doesn't mean that we not use the Bible, it means that we need to correctly use the Bible. That's why as a church we want to eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially that we would prophesy. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Ben, why don't you come on up, and Belinda, could you give us the final words?
As I've been praying about this message and just really asking God to speak to us today, and as Vanessa was saying, you might have been sitting here even now just opening up your heart to God speaking to you, and you might have a word that you could share at the end with someone else as God's laid it on your heart. And so I just wanted to share two groups of people that I felt we could pray for in response to this message. And the first is, if you felt your heart stirred about this topic and you would just love to grow in hearing God's voice, and maybe you haven't heard God in these kind of ways before, or maybe you have and you would just like to mature and grow and you're open to God using you in the gift of prophecy, we would love to pray for you. So please do respond. And I'm not sure exactly, Vanessa will guide us in how and when we will do that. But please do come to the front and just share and say, I'd love to grow in hearing God's voice, and a leader will pray with you. And another one was, I just felt that God put on my heart to encourage those of us who are creatives. And I think God uses a lot of us in creativity because He's a creator God. So even at first, if you think, oh, maybe this isn't me, I just felt that God wanted to bring a freedom among one tribe in the way we express creativity, and that God's given you a voice in your talent. Maybe it's in your workplace. Maybe it's in your hobby. It might be in the way you think in an innovative way and develop new businesses or software. It might be you're a musician, an artist, a painter, a teacher. In whatever sphere it is that just God wants to bring a freedom in creativity among us, almost redeeming that whole realm from the world, and that in our creativity, God's given us a voice to share His heart, to share with the world more of Him. And so I just felt that if that resonated with you, please come for prayer, because I feel God wants to use people mightily in one tribe, in creativity and freedom, and to share His heart.
Fantastic. Why don't we all stand together? I'm just going to invite God to speak. He loves to speak to us. We are His children. We're just going to sing this song. I want us to focus on Jesus. And as we're singing this song, I want to invite those of you who God says it's time to take some risks in this area. To ask God, God, give me a word that's going to strengthen, that's going to encourage, that's going to comfort someone. And after you sung a couple of verses of this, I'm going to ask you to walk across the room. People, I know it's a risk, but God is faithful. About growing in the prophetic, the word about God unlocking your creativity in the home, in the workplace, in the city, in the church. And that's what we're going to pray here. For now, let's just open our hearts to Jesus. Let's ask Him to speak to us. Whisper to our spirits, Lord Jesus. Speak to ourselves. We're thirsty, we're weak.
Oh,
Freakies happened. Give me a thumbs up so I know that you're okay. okay? Talk to us. I want you to be okay. God wants you to be okay. Now listen, we've just been praying for you that you'd receive more of the prophetic. I want to encourage you. Ask God, give me a word now, God. Go take a risk and share it even right now. One or two people have come up and said, hey, I feel like God wants me to share something with the church. This is not the start of another sermon. This is a powerful word from God for us as a body. So Taylor's going to come on up, but if anyone else who feels like, I feel like God's giving me something to share, I'd love to come talk to Calvin. He'll help you figure out how we dovetail all this together. Just carry the focus on Jesus. Remember the spirit of the prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. Taylor, come on out.
Yeah, as we were talking, I was picturing like Jesus' blood pouring down for us. And that's not really a good picture, but it's a picture of a perfect God who's suffering for us. And who suffered for us. And the only reason why we would ever receive the Holy Spirit is because of Him, that He's made a way for us. So I wanted to read Colossians 1:20, and it says, and through Him, through Christ, He reconciles us to Himself, and He reconciles all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. So it's the cross that brings peace. It's the cross that brings reconciliation and healing. And I think the only reason why we have connection with God or with the Holy Spirit is because of Jesus Christ who suffered and died and rose again so that we can have life. And He's living and He's living in us.
Find a person, share it, but then you'll be surprised. bless you. Have a great week. See you next week. We start our Peacemaker series.